The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop here in the studio. Gab Marcotti will be here a little later on to explain whether or not those Brazilian players who ply their trade in the Premier League and didn't travel to South America for CONMEBOL may get a five-day suspension and miss those matches this weekend. Before we get to that, let's check out what happened today between Poland against England. It finished one apiece. England opening the scoring some style. Brilliant goal from Harry Kane. But a late equaliser for Poland means that England's perfect record in qualifying is now broken. They'll still qualify, though, won't they? Without any problem. They've just dropped 2 points so far in their opening six matches. Big point, though, for Poland. They'll fancy their chances now of moving up into second. They're 1 point adrift of Albania, who thrashed San Marino 5-0. This is a bit of deja vu, Craig, from the old Euro final, in the fact that you've got England sitting back once again.
Well, they didn't sit back. They controlled most of the game.
No, but you think that last 10 minutes, you feel like they invited their pressure on, and then as a result, you concede a goal which you
don't. Well, that's right. And they got sloppy because Jordan Pickford got caught on the ball, got charged down, almost ricocheted into his own goal. He had to sprint back to the line, got there with a yard or two to spare. And then just before the goal, Kyle Walker got turned badly. And he really didn't have to get as tight as he did. A drop of the shoulder. That put England on the back foot. They never cleared the ball from there. And Poland scored. But in truth, my one criticism of England would be for all the control they had in the game, they didn't create enough chances.
Yep.
I mean, Raheem Sterling, he wasn't alone. But my goodness, how many times he dribbles into the box and then he has to beat the man and then beat him again, then try and beat him again. And by that time, they've got two or three white jerseys around it and nicked the ball away. And Jack Grealish, similar. It's frustrating because they had, as you saw, 60-70% possession.
Yeah.
But they didn't create as many chances as I thought. But the Harry Kane finish was... As soon as Poland sat off him, that was it.
Yeah.
Because he's one of the best strikers of the ball in the game. But England will qualify. Here's the deal.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a huge point for Poland and their fight with Albania.
Yeah, it keeps that hopes alive. Critics of Gareth Southgate are saying, why on earth didn't he make substitutes? Didn't make any in this game.
In truth, and Craig's right, 63% possession for England maybe suggests they could and should have gotten a whole lot more. But when you watch this game, neither goalkeeper outside of the goals really tested, and it felt like neither team created enough to really deserve 3 points. So though you talk about the goal from Harry Kane and you talk about late twist in the tail from Poland, I felt a draw was fair in all honesty, so I take nothing from it. And as far as England goes, listen, this is another point towards qualification. They go away to San Marino and Andorra, or wherever it is. And then at home for the other two, you expect them to win all four and qualify rather easily.
Southgate called sitting on his hands.
Why?
Not making any substitutions?
No, I actually don't think so. I think this is just betwixt and between. He was very comfortable. Leave it as it is. It was the players that got sloppy. The bigger concern for me is something that I brought up in the Euros was England are going to be pretty much perfect in this qualification again, and they smashed Andorra, as you'd expect. This was tougher. But is he getting enough with this talented squad going forward?
Right.
Which was a big question mark, which sounds strange. They got to the final of the Euros, but he never used Sancho much. We hardly saw Foden after his poor early start. And there are other players, and I think that is the question, is when it really comes to the crunch, England against the better teams need to create more chances than they are creating.
Let's welcome in, shall we, Jürgen Klinsmann and Jan-Olga Fjortoff to the show. Jürgen, shall we say lots of nice things about Harry Kane?
Yeah, obviously I'm super pleased with his goal. It was a very difficult game for England, you know, because Poland was, obviously they were more defensive oriented. England had majority of the ball, but they were very feisty. They were very aggressive, and I don't know how many fouls that were done on Harry Kane to just get him frustrated, to get him out of the game. And he always stood up and he kept on playing. And once he got his opportunity, he created himself a little space. He dropped back and then, you know, shooting there from 25 yards, you know, that is brilliant. You know, it's a brilliant goal, very, very important goal. Obviously for England, even if they didn't win this game, I mean, obviously we looked at the standings, England will go through as first in that group. I don't see there any problems. And the big question is then, you know, how will England then kind of take things on once they few again the big teams in the upcoming World Cup?
Now, Harry Kane, fifth all-time leading scorer, you would back him beating Wayne Rooney's record of 53 goals comfortably, you feel. Jan, you were tweeting about the technique for the goal. Take us through that to us mere mortals.
Well, I'm not a great golf player. There are other golf players in that room, in that studio of yours. But you know what we learn in tennis and golf, you have to go through with the pendle. You take the foot through, and that technique from Kane was brilliantly. And at first I thought, well, this is maybe a mistake from the goalkeeper. Maybe he could have saved it. But I love that kind of technique that Harry Kane is having there. And now he's up there with the greats, and he will certainly beat Wayne Rooney at one stage. But I just want to say shortly for Harry Kane as well, the reason that he has to shoot from that distance to get his goal is sometimes that he's live and dies from crosses. And I agree with Craig, sometimes when Sterling and sometimes Grealish as well, they make too many touches on the ball. Sometimes as a striker, you like to have the early crosses in. You want to have the crosses in the space so you can attack the space. And I didn't see that for England today. And that's why it was typical that the goal came from that side and or that way, instead of these crosses that are Kane live and die for.
You know, Grealish is frustrating as well. Don't know what you guys think, but 100 million or not, I don't care. He keeps talking about, you know, he's one of the most foul players, and you know, we saw it again today. He got some rough treatment, but he for me, he's taking too many touches.
Right.
I know he's strong. I get that, you don't have to do it every time, right? Lay it off, quick passes, little one-twos and get round people. He wants to take a touch and another touch, and he wants to invite the defender on, and then ultimately he gives a free kick away or he gets fouled, and he's probably got one of the most, you know, kicked calves in the game. But where's that going to get you? I just think, particularly with the players he's going to play with now at Man City, he can evolve his game from Aston Villa, where he had to hold the ball as much as he did to relieve some pressure sometimes. At Manchester City and England, they're dominating games. He doesn't have to be doing that. And I think he, for sure, for club and country, has to quicken up his game. Because, all right, he's winning fouls in the halfway line and whatnot, but we're not seeing the best of Jack Grealish whilst he's taking 5 and 6 and 7 touches and getting fouled.
That's it then for internationals as the players return to domestic duty for the weekend. However, there is a massive international hangover for some of those Brazilian players that weren't released by their clubs, because Brazil have made an official complaint to FIFA that Alisson, Fabinho, Firmino, Ederson, Gabriel Jesus, Fergie, Thiago Silva and Rafinha were not released for this World Cup qualifying schedule because, of course, the concerns of the pandemic. I want to welcome in Gab Marcotti. Gab, am I right in thinking now, because they didn't release these players, it means that they won't be eligible for their respective clubs this weekend?
Well, it depends on what the FIFA rule is, but based on the letter of the law, if you have an international player, you have to release them during the international break. If your government, which is a completely separate body, obviously, from football, has a rule, as they do in this case, that if he travels to certain so-called red list countries, in the case of the United Kingdom, that player then needs to quarantine in a hotel for 10 days, that's your problem. But you have to release the player if the player wants to come, obviously. And obviously, you know, not all these players came, and that's not always the case. And of course, we saw others, like the Argentine players, did leave. So that's what the rule says. And the rule stems, incidentally, it's not down to an agreement between FIFA and the leagues. It's down to an agreement between FIFA and the ECA, the European Clubs Association. They signed this agreement years ago, which basically said you must release the players during the international break. If you don't, then there are penalties. One of them is this five-day ban that's being talked about. And in exchange, the national teams, the players have 24 hours to return to their club sides after being released from international duty, or 48 hours if it's intercontinental.
This is absolutely ridiculous, isn't it, Gav? In the middle of a pandemic, that people want to exercise these sort of punishments. The teams are only looking after their property that, by the way, they spend millions and millions of pounds on every single week in wages. Why on earth would you want to put them to South America in the middle of this pandemic? Where is the common sense in any of this?
Well, Dan, you just said the teams are looking after their property. You've got a couple former professional footballers with you in the studio. I don't know if they ever felt like they were actual property, like their cattle or like a television that the club might own. This is the deal that clubs made with internationals, because equally there's a lot of players who want to play for their country. And you can pull out the in the middle of a pandemic line, but then just as easily, you could also point out that there are a whole number of professions which are exempt from quarantining on their return to the United Kingdom. And that just, 2 months ago, less than that, the United Kingdom's government was willing to go and grant all sorts of exemptions to people and from red list countries, including, by the way, Brazil. Telling them, yeah, you can come in, we'll give you a sporting exemption. Turkey were on the red list. They would have had an exemption if they'd have gone to the UK. So I think what Brazil are saying is, well, hang on a minute. You could do this 2 months ago when the situation was objectively worse than it is now. But now you're going to hold us to account based on some arbitrary red list. And I'm sorry, this is your government's fault, but you player, it's up to you, sort it out between yourselves, clubs, and your government, not with FIFA. You have to release the player. So that's what they're going to argue. Obviously, the clubs are going to see it differently. They're working to find a solution. I have a hunch that they are going to reach a solution, and it's probably going to be something all-encompassing that's going to cover the October and November breaks. Because remember, this is going to happen again in a couple weeks when the October break rolls around. And I suspect it might be something like, you know, enhanced COVID protocols, maybe sporting exemptions for those breaks, something like that, to avoid, in exchange for not banning those players now.
Yeah, they're going to have to drop something in the paperwork here, aren't they? They're going to have to rewrite the legal document.
Yeah.
Because, as Gab has pointed out, I mean, this rule was partly put in place to stop the shenanigans of him and Ira here and before.
Don't call me in that. I used to go home every single time
Stevie
I was called.
Stevie Nicol is the embodiment of this, isn't he?
It was the era before me, which was 10 years, which was Nicol. That was the era where the big clubs, particularly in England, said to the Scottish players or the British players, a couple of big games coming up, don't think you should be going. And they used to just pull out willy-nilly and people could do nothing about it. They changed all that so that the countries were able to call in the players and check those players personally and decide if the players were injured or available. I can understand where the Brazilians are coming from here. But ultimately there is an unforeseen circumstance, which has been the global pandemic. Yeah. So they're going to have to put in some legal text in the document so that if they do fudge it this time, come those fixtures that Gab mentioned, we're not having this same scenario in a couple of months.
That's the thing. The only people who benefit out of this are the lawyers. Because from an English club's perspective, if they are found guilty of keeping their players back, you get a five-day suspension. But if they travel to Brazil and come back, you have to quarantine for 10 days. As Gab rightly points out, when you travel to red zone countries and you come back in, The countries are supposed to release their players 24, 48 hours following that game. But when you're quarantining, are you releasing the players out of your own responsibility?
What a mess.
Only the lawyers.
Is there any chance we can just move on?
Only the lawyers. Only the lawyers are licking their chops at this prospect.
God, yeah.
But Dan, I'm just thinking we can't discuss this without seeing the whole picture of the power battle between the leagues, FIFA, the players' union, the clubs, UEFA. This is a part of the whole situation. We are discussing at the moment now a World Cup every second year, and they kind of... I agree with Gab that somehow they will find a solution here, but they're just showing their muscles now. This is a power battle. I think that saying that with a quote that the players will end up as losers because they will have to play international tournaments every summer, that could may be happening. But I think this whole quarantine thing, Brazilian thing, and that silly scenery of Brazil against Argentina, that is all part of all this power battle. I think we would see more of this till this will be sorted out. This Super League debate started it all off, and we'll see more of that in the future.
Money. Have you had this debate, this World Cup thing, every 2 years?
We did it on Extra Time yesterday.
Seriously, what the hell?
Yes. Let's not go off on that tangent.
Well, it's got to be better than this COVID protocol stuff.
Jürgen, as a former national team manager, how do you handle all of this?
It's very difficult, and I think, you know, yeah, the big picture certainly is that this pandemic, you know, has been so challenging for everybody, you know, for the countries, for the governments, for FIFA, UEFA, CONMEBOL, CONCACAF, and no matter where you are in this on this planet, in the world, you know, there were so many problems, so many issues, and you're just running from one problem to another, and we just can hope, you know, that this pandemic is over soon, that we have it under control, and people can travel freely again. And yeah, I mean, you look at this Brazil against Argentina topic, this is insane, absolutely insane what happened there, because authorities walked on the field and called a game off after 5 minutes playing that everything was cleared the day before in meetings between the authorities. Now the Brazil Federation comes in with another issue. So it's politics all over, it's power battles all over. The Super League started it all, as Jan said, rightfully so. As a manager of a team, the only thing you can do is to stay calm and communicate it well with your players and stay focused, you know, and come somehow find solutions, you know, and find ways to stay connected. And get hopefully the players released. Obviously, I understand the clubs, you know, especially the big European clubs, you know, with their players, you know, when they come back now from CONMEBOL, from those games, which are, by the way, they are tomorrow, they are on Thursday, you know, on Saturday, Sunday, games are played in Europe all over the place. They are exhausted. I mean, they're flying back 12 hours, and they're supposed to play then on Saturday in the Premier League or in Serie A or the Spanish League and so on. So all you can do as a manager, as a coach, is, you know, to communicate as much as you can with your players, to keep them going in the right direction, to make sure that they stay fit, stay healthy, and stay focused. But it is an absolute nightmare that we are going through. And it's just, going on since 1.5 years, since the pandemic started.
Well, Gab will be travelling as well. He's heading off to Switzerland this week, meaning that he won't be available for the Gab and Jules podcast.
Why is he quarantining?
Well, no, he's in Switzerland. He can't do it there.
He can do it from Switzerland.
Well, he's a very busy
man. He's suspended.
He doesn't have time. Yes. The club laws means he can't play.
You know, Julian
Robson will
Julian's
be with him.
Banned him.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Italy thrashed Lithuania on Wednesday, extending their unbeaten run to 37 matches. Despite that fantastic run, of course, sweating a little bit in World Cup qualifying, but that huge victory gives them some breathing space ahead of Switzerland. 6 points clear, although the Swiss do have two games in hand. They could only manage a 0-0 draw away against Northern Ireland. Gab, let's focus, shall we, on that 5-0 win for Italy. What was your big takeaway from that result today?
Well, I mean, Italy kind of went into this game after the draw against Switzerland sort of concerned of what might happen if Switzerland keep winning and then you've got the head-to-head in Rome, there's going to be too much pressure. It was all wiped away by the result in Switzerland. And I thought Mancini made a bit of a brave choice. You know, he kept the clubs happy by effectively playing a B team. I think you could say Donnarumma and Jorginho, really the only bona fide starters out there. And I think this also sends a big message because Italy's problem had been scoring goals when people like Ciro Immobile or Belotti have been up front. Here we saw two strikers like Moise Kean and like Raspadori, and we saw that, at least against Lithuania, they certainly can find the back of the net. So it does spice things up a little bit in terms of competition for places, which is, I think, something that, especially up front, which is something that Italy need.
Germany with a big victory over Iceland today, defeating them by 4-0, put them 4 points clear in Group J. Looking good, don't they, to qualify top of the group. Jürgen Klinsmann with us. Jürgen, what's the biggest difference that Hansi Flick has made to this team since he's taken over?
Well, I just think it's really fresh air. It's he brings in his own staff. He brings in kind of his own ideas, his own own way of doing things. You know, his way of communication. Even if the players know him since a long time, he was 8 years the assistant coach of Joachim Löw. Then he left in 2014 after the World Cup in Brazil, which they won. And then he went on his own and then won everything pretty much with Bayern Munich the last 2 years. So it's just like a bit of a new start, and it's fresh air. And I mean, they played now 3 games, scored 12 goals in 3 games, 9 points, and they will cruise to the World Cup in Qatar, I have no doubt about it.
Germany then, full of fresh air. Jan, you're full of hot air, really, especially when you take a look at your tweets about Leroy Sané. Sum up for those who don't follow you stringently on Twitter what you were saying about him.
I just kind of lost a bit of confidence in the beginning of this season, and there are positions-wise that he's been struggling a bit. But I think in Julian Nagelsmann and Hansi Flick now with the German national team, they will get hold of him. They will get him back again. And Leroy Sané was good now. He was good in the 3 games. He showed a lot of this pass into Gnabry here. It's a great pass in there. And I think what Germany took out of these 3 games, I mean, the German fans are desperate again to see a team that they can enjoy watching, and Löw stayed here for many years, and then it's natural at the end of a period like that, it's getting a bit grey, a bit tabloid, saying boring, and this Armenia game in the last game when they got loads of goals, that made it a bit easier for them in Germany, and this Iceland as well, it means it's not easy to go. Iceland is not the Iceland we used to see in some of the Euros or something like that, but just still go there and win 4-0 is impressive. And we had a laugh about Werner, Timo Werner, and as a striker Union, I have to defend him a bit. But first of all, he got a goal. He's got 3 goals in a row now. He's always doing well. He tried to stretch the team and all that kind of thing. So for some reason, Tuchel and Hansi Flick, another player. Yeah, of course you're showing that. Show the goal. I can't. Jürgen, we can't watch this, can we?
There you go. The goal as well, which Craig said he was goal. Lucky.
Yeah, and it's interesting. look at Kai Havertz here, because Kai Havertz doesn't touch the ball, and this went into VAR, and I think that maybe if Kai Havertz touched the ball, they could have taken that goal away. So it was wise by wise. I'm sure that I would have tried to put that ball over the line.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, listen, that's enough of being nice on this show. For God's sake, there's a reason Chelsea went out and paid what they paid for Lukaku, because they just can't, as an out-and-out front man, you can't be trusted as a natural goal scorer. I mean, I know he scored goals in the Bundesliga and he's having a tougher time. But he's a guy I think is probably going to operate for Chelsea more in a wider position,
sure,
or in behind the striker.
Yeah.
As Jan said, with his movement, There's been too many of them over the piece, particularly his time in Chelsea. Let's go back to Sané just a little bit. I think it's hard to quantify just how much of his confidence took a knock when Yogi Love left him out. I think it was the 2018 World Cup.
Yeah.
And sometimes for a player, it affects him differently. And I think that for an international player, as 21, 22-year-old, I think it had been at the time, it's a huge blow. And all right, he had these big moves on the go. He was at Man City and he was going to be moving to Bayern. It took a bit of time. But I think his confidence for sure took a knock, and it sometimes takes a little while to get that back. I don't think he's there quite yet. But clearly there's a good player in there, but it's down to him.
Yeah.
The consistency is down to him. You look at Serge Gnabry and how he rebuilt his career, going in to be, at one point, one of the best players at Bayern Munich, one of the most consistent players in the last couple of years. It's up to Leroy Sané to do something similar.
It is one of the biggest criticisms of Sané, isn't it, Klinsmann? Yeah, again, it's the lack of consistency that we see from him. From a coach's perspective, how do you deal with that?
No, I think Craig said it right. Well, I mean, he struggled not going to Russia. I mean, this was a big deal, which was heavily discussed, obviously, in Germany, up and down. And it took its time. And you as a young player, you need the support of your environment. You need to to feel like you can go through struggle time. You can go through difficult games, and there's somebody on the side that gives you a hug or talks to you when things go wrong. And I mean, he has so much quality that he can. The only question is about the consistency. Now with Julian Nagelsmann at Bayern, he will have a coach on his side that probably will every week, day in day out, talk to him. Hansi Flick is a coach as well that is very good in communication. So maybe that changes a little bit the picture for Leroy Sané. But overall, he has to push himself. He has to ask himself, okay, what can I do to improve the situation, become more consistent, stay focused and deliver all those performances that the people want to see from me, but especially I want to see for myself.
You've just been caught out, haven't you?
What do you mean?
What you call Jürgen when behind the scenes?
I call Jürgen a lot worse than that.
Who's on today? Well, there's Jan, there's Shaq, there's Buet, and there's Klinsmann. Caught.
Just a reminder then, the Bundesliga back this weekend. Leroy Sané featuring in the marquee tie. What a match it should be. Leipzig take on Bayern Munich, a match, of course, which is live on ESPN+. Plus. Coverage starting at 12 p.m. Eastern. Elsewhere in Group B, Spain registered a 2-0 victory over Kosovo, meaning they topped the group 4 points clear of Sweden, who were beaten by Greece by 2-1. Meanwhile, just the 1 goal was enough to see Belgium beat Belarus. That means they continue their fine start to qualifying. They are, goodness me, they're home and hose pretty much, aren't they? 9 points clear of the Czech Republic. Meanwhile, the Welsh could only manage a 0-0 draw against Estonia.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The US going tonight's clash with Honduras, still in search of their first win in CONCACAF qualifying, of course, after that goalless draw against El Salvador and that 1-1 stalemate in Nashville against Canada. Jurgen Klinsmann with us. Jurgen, I want to focus in particular from that Canada game, which I think left so many fans disappointed because of the lack of reaction, really, in the second half. How easy is that for Greg Berhalter to address that going into tonight's game?
Well, I mean, obviously, the players themselves are disappointed. You know, they wanted badly 3 points against Canada, against actually a very, very good Canada. And so they left the field and they felt like a little bit empty. And they know it's going to be a very difficult game in Honduras. I mean, playing those away games in CONCACAF are very tricky, are very difficult. They will expect in Honduras probably a full stadium, a hostile environment, and a difficult game to play, and that's what it is. So I mean, there's a bit of disappointment coming from the Canada game, but also, I mean, I think nothing really happened so badly, because you got a point in El Salvador, you didn't lose against Canada, you tied that one, and hopefully you can get a result in San Pedro Sula, which is a very kind of particular place to play in.
What's been the main problem, though, Jurgen? The expectations were so high, obviously, after the Nations League win and the Gold Cup victory. It was just assumed that they would carry on that momentum into this World Cup qualifying berth, which they haven't. Why not?
Well, I think it's just normal. I mean, it's this road now to Qatar's just started, and they had a very successful summer, which made us also happy, you know, with the win of the Nations League and the Gold Cup. And this is now back to reality. I mean, the World Cup qualifiers, every single game in a World Cup qualifier is a battle, is highly emotional. The teams that play the U.S. Or even Mexico, they give everything they have for them. It's the game of the year. So they leave everything on the field and fight for every single ball, for every inch on the field. So it's tough. It's tough. And you got to just get kind of going and get your points on the way. I'm totally confident that they will do that. And even if you here and there maybe lose a game, especially now if it's, you know, in Costa Rica or if it's in Honduras, that's all right. You got to just get your points in at home, which didn't happen now with Canada. But I'm very confident that they're on the right track and they get the job done.
What has undoubtedly overshadowed, Jurgen, that draw against Canada was Weston McKennie, of course, being sent back now to Italy after breaking COVID rules on more than one occasion. How frustrating is that to deal with from a coach's perspective?
Well, it's something that happens. I mean, you know, players make mistakes, you know, officials, coaches make mistakes. We all make mistakes, you know, and I think Weston McKennie, he admitted it. He apologized. That's all he can do. And you got to move on. So now I don't know what are the consequences for violating COVID rules. I don't know if you are mandatory kind of sent away and what is this all at. But the coaching staff knows that. Greg Berhalter and his staff, they know how to react to that. I'm sure that Greg had a good talk with Weston McKennie. So you got to move on. I mean, the road to Qatar or the World Cup qualifying campaign is an amazing experience that the players will go through. And they will make mistakes, and there will be problems, and there will be issues to be solved. But it also kind of creates a chemistry within that group of players and within the entire group of, you know, the delegation, meaning the coaching staff and everybody, the staff that works with the players, in order then to kind of come together and then go to a World Cup and make something special happen. So through all these kind of games that they're playing now in CONCACAF, you know, they will go through these up and downs. It will be a bit of a roller coaster. And you will have situations like this, you know, that a player, you know, does something wrong. The next time, maybe it's somebody else. But also, you know, it's, I mean, I try to put myself into their mindset, you know, going along since 1.5 years with all these COVID rules, with all these COVID kind of regulations, you know, then between the countries, all these different arguments and all these different whatever, yellow country, red country and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's a complete nightmare. And I mean, Greg Berhalter, as the head coach, he has to deal with that. Now they make the decisions to let Weston McKennie go back to Juventus. I'm sure he's going to be back at the next qualifiers then in October. I hope so. And now we keep all our fingers crossed for them tonight that they beat Honduras.
Now, don't you go breaking any COVID protocol, Jürgen. Do back on the show tomorrow to reflect on what happened in that crunch game for the US away against Honduras. Oh, and not only that, Jürgen will be the special guest as well on Football Americas with Seb and Herc. They'll, of course, be reacting to everything that happens tonight. That will be available for you tomorrow here on Plus. Meanwhile, in common ball, just a reminder how things stand. Oh, Brazil remain top, 6 points clear of Argentina.
All that moaning about COVID problems. They're still winning.
Yes, indeed they are. As we mentioned earlier, of course, common ball fixtures, of course, still to come. This week, just taking a look at who is going to be facing off against who. Uruguay, Ecuador, Paraguay, Venezuela, Colombia, Chile, Argentina, Bolivia, Brazil against Peru. All of those games are tomorrow.
That's a proper qualification.
It certainly is. That is it. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on.
You moan about the CONCACAF. That's tough. Going to Honduras and El Salvador.
We almost made it. We almost made it. without
that. Roll the music. Quick.
That's it. Jan is back with us for
just
extra
telling you
time.
Facts.
Which is next. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig and Shaka here with me in the studio. Jan joins us as well. And the first question is for you, Jan. Is Erling Haaland already ahead of you in Norway Legends rankings? No way.
No way. First of all, he got so many less caps than me. Yes. He's 21, by the way. And he hasn't even scored... Well, he scored half of my goals nearly for the international. But will soon. He scored like 12 now. And the record in Norway is 33. And this boy, he would probably score over 50. I was there against Gibraltar. Gibraltar is not, a great opposition. But the way he just takes his goal is unbelievable. In the second half, he was 20 minutes. He was a bit off. And then in the 90th minute, he got his hat-trick. This is his second hat-trick in international football. It's amazing what's going on with this boy.
Where are you in the Trinidad and Tobago power ranking, Shaq, of legends? Lara, Dwight York, Shaka?
Well, it's the opposite. unless he does his normal cut and paste, it probably won't change for a few months.
I am way down to answer your question. Lara York,
yes.
Latipi's there.
Okay.
Russell Latipi,
yeah.
Yep.
Love Russell.
Sorry, what? I don't know, Shaq. You've got to be ahead of him.
Oh, no, 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 no.
He's not.
No.
Played in Scotland.
Close to Russell.
Is that what you're trying to say?
A bonus for him.
Played in Scotland, amongst other places. You're always behind the cricketers.
Oh. Well, there was only one cricketer in there.
What?
You're always behind the cricketers. There's only one.
Why? There must be others you're behind.
Dwayne Bravo?
No, you're ahead of Dwayne Bravo.
No.
Right, anyway. What do you guys...
Brent Sancho?
Well, he's not a cricketer.
No, he's not a cricketer.
Craig, what do you guys think about players not having agents? Kevin De Bruyne, Joshua Kimmich?
Personal.
Did you have one?
Yeah, now and again. But I never had one.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah,
I don't think Roy Keane had one either when he was playing.
No, he did. He had legal representation.
Oh, right. Shaka.
Roy. Sounds far more sinister than it should.
Roy used a lawyer, I believe.
Legal representation.
Well, that's a lawyer, yeah.
Roy needed a lawyer.
I always use one when I was playing, and I've never used one in
right.
this job.
Yeah, and you had obviously Gareth Bale's agent.
Jonathan Barnett, yes.
Yeah.
And David Manassi.
Oh.
It's two of them, is it two principals?
Yeah, and I suppose in theory it's great if you don't have one because you don't have to give them, what were you giving him, 10%?
No, we'll say you're wrong.
I can't remember.
The clubs pay them in the end.
But could the clubs not have given you that money?
Exactly.
It's about 5%. It's not.
Exactly.
No. It's 10% for was it 20% for commercial deals and 5% from the clubs?
I know, it's your contract, Shaq.
That's back in the day.
That was a long time ago, Dan. That was a long time.
Jan, do you think
he got cash?
Jan, do you think he? Well, Jan can't have done that well because he's with us and it's 1 o'clock in the morning in Norway.
No, but I never had an agent, and I did that decision quite early. I went to Vienna when I was 22, and I used lawyers just to help to set up contracts and everything. But I thought it was better to develop myself, try to understand that game, and look at where we are now. One intelligent, at least, in the studio.
So how would you orchestrate a move? Would you call the club up yourself?
He was just a man that was in demand.
I scored goals, Dan.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like it.
But actually, to be honest, things are way too complex now for players to do it on. Some right. might be able to do it.
I suppose De Bruyne and Kimmich, they're at that right. one club, aren't they?
I don't imagine they don't have any representation.
They don't, apparently.
Listen, half the short sheets we get in this show are wrong, so I wouldn't even go by what's on that.
No,
back in the day, you used to get your wage, a win bonus,
right,
and a bottle of juice.
Okay.
Now there's all these commercial rights.
Yeah, your marketing rights.
Marketing rights, commercial, all this sort of stuff that has to be done absolutely perfectly. So it's changed. It was just a give me that amount of money, win bonus, signing on fee, job done.
Okay.
A bit different now.
Now, this is a debate we had earlier in the week, Craig.
Right.
With regards to me at my fittest. So, say, 14, 15-year-old Dan Thomas.
Was that your fittest?
I would say, probably.
Well, yeah. You weren't even fully grown then.
No, but I think I could run
fully
everywhere.
Grown is,
I still think you're not fully grown.
Well, yes, we're still waiting. Come on.
You might be a late developer.
So, right, that age where I can run everywhere forever.
Yep.
Then against 11 Stevies now.
Sorry, I beg your pardon?
So 11 of my 15-year-old self against 11 Stevie in his state that he is now.
What do you mean 11?
11 of him.
It's 11 v 11.
It's a football match.
11 15-year-old right. dance yeah. against yeah. 11
11 Stevies. Who wins?
11 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stevie says he wouldn't have to move. He'd be
well,
fine.
He could move. It's not, I don't think that's even up for debate. There's no choice in this matter. We're talking about a man that got on a bike at home for 3 minutes and did his groin. All he had to do was sit in the bike and pedal the wheels.
That exercise bike.
So no. Oh yeah, you'd win easily.
Right. You better win easily.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Craig, we've heard you book name ideas for Don. Oh, sorry, we've heard your book name ideas for Don. If Shaka or Stevie were to write a book, what would be the title?
Stevie has
written one, isn't it? Five league titles and a packet of crisps.
That wasn't him who came up with that.
No, that was the author.
It was the author.
Who also likes crisps.
And he also likes free crisps. Out of Stevie's cupboard.
Jan, you've written a book. What was it called?
It was called Loved and Hate. That's a great title.
You wrote it. You would say that.
It's a great title. But what about Craig's book? I think that is more interesting. For example, the book for Craig, How Did Ole Gunnar Come Under My Skin or something. Something like that. Must be a book somewhere.
No.
See, I've not even mentioned that man in the show.
The book would just be called Can't Be Bothered and then 300 blank pages. That'd be it.
Yes. Well, I sell more than Stevie's. I'm giving that away. Shaka's book. Oh my God.
Shaka, what would you call it? If you must have
I don't know.
101 Great Vacations. how to get work to pay for a vacation by Shaka Hislop.
Jan, who will
101
have
101 ways to wangle a holiday and say it's work.
Who will have a bigger future, Pedri or Musiala?
Ooh.
That is a good one. I think that because of Musiala is now in Germany with Julian Nagelsmann and club functioning. He came on today as well for Germany. He will go far away. That is a tough one. If I would set on one, I would set on Musiala. Because
that's
there's something
the wrong answer,
about
though,
it.
Isn't it,
Jan? Pardon?
That's the wrong answer. Just because he plays in Germany, your German bias.
Okay, so because you're in Spain, you will say Pedri. Good argument.
Well, I'm in Connecticut. I'm not in Spain.
Well, that's close enough.
Jan, who? I won't ask Craig this.
Ask me.
No, I will not ask you this. Who are your top three favourites for the World Cup in Qatar?
Wow! I want to hear Craig's.
I will go. I have to go Italy. I will go not England, because you will always put in your betting companies saying that, and then you think they are favourites. I won't do that. It depends on how many parents the French players will bring to the Doha tournament in Doha. And then I have to go with the two sort of Americans, Brazil and Argentina. Very boring, but I will have to go there.
For all, Ida Johnson's son has made his debut and scored for Iceland. Mm-hmm. How old does that make you feel?
I saw that.
He's not my son. He's not my son.
He's older than that, I imagine.
Well, Ida Johnson actually made his debut coming on for his father.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
I'm not sure you did.
I didn't know that, Craig.
Did you not?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's on YouTube.
Good, lots of things on YouTube.
But Dan, we played Gibraltar and it was 1-0, was the son of Eric Torstvedt. 2-0 was the son of Alfie Holland. And 3-0 was the son of my former striker calling Göran Sørloth. So in Norway, we do that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Jan, you're playing Gibraltar. It could be the son of the butcher.
Oh. Oh, dear.
I mean, why are they explaining?
Who?
Danny Higginbottom, blame
Danny Higginbottom,
blame him. How did he end up playing for Gibraltar?
I don't know.
I mean, at no point when he was at Derby with me did he even mention Gibraltar.
Right.
Because
you bullied him so much he didn't talk to you.
I don't think he's even been there.
He was scared to talk to you.
I was his captain. I nurtured him.
He wrote in the book that you dragged him around a bar in a headlock.
I did, yes.
Yes.
I was nurturing him.
You were very nurturing kind.
I was trying to toughen him up for the season ahead.
How did that work?
Didn't work. He crumbled.
Who needs a maths lesson more, Shaq? Don or Laporta?
Wait, what's he done?
He said that they tried to get Neymar in March.
What does that mean?
Well, they can't afford Messi, yet they were chasing Neymar to bring him in as well.
I thought you meant Laporte.
Oh, Emerick Laporte.
From Man City. Don
needs a math lesson. Laporte just needs lying lessons.
Don is so sweet when he does the maths. I mean, that program listen, Craig is a bully, and yes. Don is a sweet guy. And Don, when he saw his eyes when he asked about the four favourites in England, and he said that everybody was 25%, I think that was fantastic. I mean, great math.
Oh, no.
I always like when you go back very quickly to him and then he won't try and bat it away.
No.
He accepts it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then he
pines for some sort of help.
Yes.
Like, help me figure this out. Right, what if you do it the reverse way?
Final question. Craig, do you think there is room in the modern game?
Yes.
What?
I don't know.
You've answered. Finished.
More holidays.
Final answer.
For a hard man enforcer, has there been in most generations of football?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
You just have to do it you have to be a bit more clever about it, and you have to have your timing a lot better, just as simple as that. You can still be hard. I think, I wouldn't say he's a hard man, but I think, you know, for England, Declan Rice and Calvin Phillips put themselves around.
Right.
There are others, because I watched that game today.
Yeah.
But you just don't get away with kind of stuff you got away with in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, players were getting halved in two from behind and all that. When they outlawed the tackle from behind, it was the best thing. Apart from strikers got away with everything after that.
Yeah.
Because centre-halves couldn't use to half them.
Yeah, and you got away with everything. What are you doing now, Jan? What's on tomorrow? Where are you going?
First of all, now I'm going to bed because it's over midnight here. And then I'm in 5 hours. I'm up with my friends, walking in the forest, as I do every morning, 6 o'clock.
What the hell? Do you have a lie in, mate? Yeah.
What do you see in the forest? What are you looking for?
We should have seen my body, Craig. It looks fantastic. That's why. And I have to do that.
Wow, there we go. Maybe you should start doing that with Stevie, getting up and walking.
Walk in the forest.
Tell Stevie.
Walk in the forest.
Tell Stevie, it's a revolutionary way to get rid of all that timber.
Yep, there you go.
You don't have to go to the gym and run. Yep. You've only got to go to a forest at 6 in the morning.
Yep, walk around.
And walk
every
around.
Morning.
Yes.
Pining exactly. at the trees.
Yes.
Howling at the moon.
How is the moon there? Up? It's 6 in the morning.
Oh, I don't know.
That is it, Jan. Enjoy your walk.
You'd have to set his alarm.
Thank you.
We'll be back here tomorrow. We won't be back here tomorrow. Other people will be, though, to talk about soccer.
Okay.